Tonight, I want us to dig a little deeper into this topic of faith that we talked about this morning. And as I was preparing for this, I began to think about two different times, two different authors of the New Testament referenced Abraham's faith and that he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, it was counted towards him as righteousness. But then I begin to look at these two different authors, and if you read, or when we read in just a minute, we're going to look at them, they almost seem to contradict one another. And so, and we struggle with, we have this same struggle today with understanding faith. We know that we're saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast, that it's faith alone in Jesus Christ that saves us. But on the other hand, we understand that there are things that we've got to be doing. There's a work aspect of our faith. There's a working out of our sanctification that Paul talks about. So what is the correct understanding of faith? Is it simply just believing, or is there more to it than just believing? We're going to kind of go to three different places tonight as we look at this idea of faith, because we talked about this morning. Faith is one of the non-negotiable. We must walk by faith. We must live by faith. All right? So, but what is faith? How can we understand it in such a way that we have a right demonstration of our faith? Not just a right understanding, but a right application, a right living out of our faith. Well, the first one, I want you, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's trying to explain his theology, and he uses Abraham as a reference. Now, he's writing to combat this idea that you've got to be circumcised in order to be saved, that circumcision is part of the salvation process, that unless you've been circumcised, then just believing in God and putting your faith in Jesus Christ is not enough. And he's saying, look, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He says in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not credited as favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." And he goes on to talk about the sign of circumcision, that Abraham was called a believer of God, and it's credited to him as righteous before circumcision was ever given. You may be seated. So what is it? What is the role of works in salvation? What is the role of works and faith? Well, James has a whole nother take on it. If you will, turn with me to James chapter 2. And these are the two passages that if you just read them and we don't dig into it, it seems like, okay, this is a place where the Bible contradicts itself. Because James used almost exactly the opposite argument. James chapter 2. Now, we all know 14 through 20 talks about works, or faith without works is dead. So he's saying your faith must produce, there must be works accompanying your faith. And he uses Abraham again as an example that works are necessary. He says, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar?" You see that faith was working with his works. As a result of works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God." You see that a man is not justified by work, or excuse me, a man is justified by works and not faith alone. It seems to be polar opposites. Paul is saying we're justified by faith and not by works. And he used Abraham, where the Bible says, God said of Abraham, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. James is going from that whole different perspective and says, look, you're not justified by works alone or by faith alone. You must have works. And he used the same example. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So if both of these guys are telling the truth, how do we reconcile it? How do we reconcile it? Well, I think James, again, both of these examples that use, Paul uses the example of circumcision. Abraham believed God and he followed God. If you will now turn with, let's go back to Genesis and see if we can kind of clear this up and get an understanding of what faith is. I forgot to mark that place. Wouldn't you know it? Genesis chapter 12. This is the call and the covenant that God made with Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from this country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, jump on down. I knew I should have written this. I should have marked it. Just after this, chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. So God says, look, you go to the land that I'm going to show you. Abraham got up and went. He went through life. He did some things. Abraham didn't always exercise a whole lot of faith. You remember there are two times in Abraham's life as he was following God. God told him to go down to Egypt the first time. And when he was going down to Egypt, he told his wife Sarah, who was a beautiful lady, even though she was about 80 years old at this time, he says, look, when we get there, tell them you're my sister because I don't want them to kill me so they can take you away from me. So she did. She said when Pharaoh saw her said, and was just fired up about how pretty she was, she told him he was a sister, he took her into his own palace. And God began to pour out his wrath on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and they said, what is this? You know, and they figured out, oh, well, this is his wife. So they gave her back and said, why'd you lie to us? Well, I didn't really lie. She really is the daughter of my mother, but not my father. And so he lied about that. He was worried about them wanting to kill him. He didn't have enough faith in God that God would protect him. A second time, he did that with the Philistines. He went into the land of the Philistines, and Abimelech, the king, saw her and saw she was beautiful. And he said, tell him you're my sister so he won't kill me. So she tells him that she is his sister. And he brings her into the palace. And God begins to pour out his wrath on Abimelech and tells him, look, you're about to die because you've taken my servant's wife. And Abimelech freaks out and says, hey, I didn't know she was his wife. So he goes to Abraham and says, why did you do this? What did I ever do to you to make you lie to me like this and bring the wrath of God on me? Here's your wife and here's a whole bunch of gifts. Pray for me so that I won't die. And he did. So Abraham was not always a man of faith, but in previous chapters, God had already said he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. The sign of circumcision wasn't given when that statement was made about him. Later on, he says, look, this is the sign of the covenant between me and you. You're to be circumcised. Every male in your house to be circumcised. Every servant born to you, male servants to be circumcised. Every male son you have is to be circumcised. That's the sign of the covenant between us. So he circumcised himself. He circumcised his servants. He circumcised Isaac when it came time. Do you see a pattern? God said do something. He believed God, and he did it. And that's where James is talking about in the beginning, or in the that first part of that passage in chapter 2. Abraham believed God, but his belief compelled him to obedience. So his works perfected his faith. If he said, yeah, I believe God, but when God said go and he didn't go, did he really believe him? If he says, look, this is the covenant I'm going to have. This is going to be a sign, and it's going to be a sign of blessing that separates you from all the other peoples of the world. If he says, circumcise, you be circumcised, and all your children be circumcised, your male servants, and he didn't do it. I'll circumcise them, but I'm not going to do it. It wouldn't have been faith. And here, and he uses the example James does of Isaac being sacrificed. And this is probably the most amazing passage, amazing example of what it means to really have faith. We can say we believe, but talk is cheap. This is a definite proof of faith. Chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. I'm just going to tell you, that right there is a scary thought. After all this stuff, Abraham has followed him. Abraham has messed up and lied to two different kings. Abraham has beaten the kings that had captured Lot and Sodom and all the land and stuff, and he had conquered them and brought the people of Sodom back, gave all the people of Sodom back to the king of Sodom and rescued Lot and all his family. And after these things, after Abraham had walked faithfully with the Lord for years throughout Canaan, through into Egypt and back, and all he'd been walking around with the Lord and been trusting God for a son for a long time, God finally decides to test him. You'd think all the demonstration of his faith, his willingness to follow, and the obedience that he had given, you would think that would be enough. But at this point, after he had finally gotten a son from Sarah, when he had finally seen the promise fulfilled, the glimmer of hope for the promise of the world being all the nations being blessed through his seed, them being as numerous as the stars of the sky, numerous as the sands on the seashore. God promised him that. And finally, when he was 100 years old, he had a son. All right, the promise is coming. God's coming through on what he said. And God decides to test him. He wants to see, Abraham, do you want me or the promise? Which is more important? You trust me, or do you just want the blessing? So he says, God decided to test him, and he said to Abraham, Abraham, that's my God voice, and he said, here I am. God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. I'm just going to tell you, right about there is when I would balk a little, probably. But look at what Abraham does. Now this is an amazing point, and don't miss this. And this is where God began to get hold of my heart about ministry, because I'd been running from him. I'd been balking on just simply going into the ministry, not killing my son. He says, go and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain, which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. No delay. The verbiage here is probably before daylight. He got up. And it says, Abraham arose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place where God had told him. On the third day, 3 days. I hope you see some similarities here. Your only son, the one that you love. 3 days. Abraham raised his eyes and saw a place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship, and we will return to you. Now remember, God's already told him, you're going to kill your son. You're going to offer him as a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice. But yet Abraham sees that, hey, we're going over here to worship, but we're coming back. Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac's son. Again, wood on the shoulders of the son as he carries it to the sacrifice. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, son, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. They came to the place in which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand with a knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know you are one who fears God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked from behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Remember, several chapters prior, 10 chapters prior, it was said of Abraham, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. How do we know that Abraham believed God? Because he was obedient, his reaction. When God said, "Go to a land," he got up and went. When God said, "This is going to be the sign," it could have been anything. I mean, come on, circumcision? He did it. But the true test, all of those were not the test. The test was, are you willing to give up the one thing I promised you? The key to every promise I've ever given, the key to everything I've told you, the one link that makes all of it happen, are you willing to kill your son and offer him as a sacrifice? And Abraham got up early in the morning, split the wood, got the fire, took the knife, loaded the donkey, and off he went. And not just a short distance, he took 3 days to get there. I can't imagine the wrestling that Abraham did inside of himself. For 3 days, they walked to the place where he had determined, "I will kill my son and burn him on a pile of rocks because God said do it." Now, his faith was, God promised me a nation through this son. So his belief, his faith was, God can even raise the dead. That's what Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith chapter. That Abraham believed so much that God could do anything. God was a keeper of his promises. God was said, "I will make a nation through this son. I will bless the world through this son." And he believed it so much that he knew he'd never seen it happen before, but somehow, some way, God could raise him from the dead even after he had been killed and burnt as an offering. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17, 18, and 19 explains the faith that Abraham had. How do we know he had that kind of faith? Because he took him there to kill him. He was milliseconds from killing him. That's how we know. How does the world know that we believe God? Our actions, how we live, our obedience. How do we know that we have real faith? By our obedience or lack thereof. See, faith, I think James has, both Paul and James have a right understanding of faith. Look, Paul was saying, look, circumcision has nothing to do with righteousness. It was a sign that God gave that you're part of the covenant. But the righteousness came when Abraham believed years before the sign of circumcision was ever given. That's when he was pronounced righteous, because he trusted God, and when God said go, he went. It was counted to him as righteousness. And James says, look, the whole life of Abraham is an example of faith. The greatest example is that of him sacrificing his son. But you've got to see, James is saying, that he wasn't justified simply because of his faith. His faith was perfected because he was willing to act on his faith. He was willing to do what he was told to do. Was not Abraham, verse 21 of James chapter 2, was not Abraham a father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac? See, works, or you see that faith was working with works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. Faith without works is dead. And we, if we're going to live by faith, if we're going to experience real faith, if we're going to be disciples, faith means that we have got to be obedient to God's word. If you say you believe it, are you showing you believe it? There's an old saying that talk is cheap. That's true about Christians too. Talk's cheap. The world is tired of hearing us talk about what we believe. The world is tired of hearing us talk about who God is. The world is tired of hearing us say, this is what we need to do, or this is how you're supposed to live. What they want to see is someone actually living it. What they've got to see is somebody actually living it. Faith without works is dead. Faith is perfected by our works. And works are simply being obedient to the Word of God. Without obedience, there is no faith. But what causes us to be obedient? We believe God is, and He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. Faith says, I believe that God exists. I believe that He's the creator of the world. I believe that He is everything that He says He is, and that He'll do what He says He'll do. And because I know who He is, because I trust that He's going to do what He says He'll do, then I'm willing to do whatever it is He tells me to do. Because I know He's going to come through. I know He's going to do His part. It may not be easy. Now, I want you to see, there's nothing about the life of Abraham that's easy. There was nothing about the faith that he demonstrated that was easy. You know, today it's not a big deal for our kids to leave home. For some parents it is. Rand and I, it wasn't. But we make a big deal nowadays, our kids leaving, but we got cell phones, we got FaceTime, we got all kinds of things that we can contact them and talk with them. They can get on an airplane and fly back, they can drive back, all kinds of things. They may be gone, but they're still close, thousands of miles away. But then, when you left your family, you left everything. You left all of your security. You left all of your promise. You left all of your dreams. Everything that your parents had built up for you, you left it all. You walked away from it. There was no FaceTime. There was no contact. If you wanted to go back home, you had to walk for days, weeks, years. So just leaving home was a huge deal. Man, it took a great faith to walk away from everything that he knows, everybody that he knows, just him, his family, and Lot. But then, to be willing to kill your own son and trusting that God's going to raise him from the dead, because God had promised through this one child, I'm going to raise up a nation and all the world's going to be blessed through your seed, but it's coming through him. Faith says, I don't know how. I can't fathom. I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. I've never experienced it. But I know God will raise him from the dead if he has to. And he follows through. And that's faith. Obedience to the ridiculousness of God. I mean, you may think that's being a little sacrilegious there, Brother Neil, ridiculousness of God. Well, from our perspective, it is. It's crazy. But sometimes maybe God just wants to see how much you trust Him. What are you willing to give up? Are you just after the blessing of God? Or is obedience more important than the blessing? And see, that's where Abraham was. That was his crisis of faith. Is the blessing of what's most important, or is obedience of most important? And that's all of our crisis of faith. That's where faith becomes reality. That's where faith is perfected. That's where faith is grown. That's where we see God being faithful, is with that kind of faith. And today, preachers talk about, you know, it's all about the blessing. 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 No, it's not. It's all about the blesser. It's all about God. It's all about obedience. And if God chooses to bless your obedience, praise the Lord. If God chooses to test your obedience, praise the Lord. God will come through. But we've got to work. We've got to do. We've got to demonstrate our faith so that He shows up and keeps His word. Faith is not a wishful thinking. Faith is not a hope. Faith is not a song we sing. Faith is not just believing. Faith must be demonstrated to really be faith. And so when we talk about faith, when we talk about walking by faith and not by sight, when we talk about faith as a non-negotiable, I'm not talking about just believing. I'm not just talking about saying. I'm not just talking about repeating the right things. I'm talking about faith that demonstrates our absolute trust in God, where obedience is more important than the blessing, but trusting that God will do what He says He'll do if we will be obedient. That's faith. That's the faith that was counted or the belief that was counted to Abraham as righteousness. And that's the only kind of faith that's counted to us as righteousness. Faith that radically changes the way we live. We live like God is who He says He is, and we'll do what He says He'll do. Let's develop that kind of faith. Let's be intentional in stepping out, praying, okay, God, what's my next step of obedience? What is it that You want me to do? What is it that You want me to accomplish? What is the eternal significant thing that You've got in store for me today? Who is it that You want me to share the gospel with? Who is it that You want me to help today? What is it that I can do today to show the world I trust You completely? Then we'll see God doing amazing things. Then you'll see the power of God in your life. Then you will experience the true blessing of God, His presence, His glory, and whatever else He sees fit. Those are the most important things. Let's walk by faith, not by sight. Let's stand.